Shepherd the flock, the title of the message today. Shepherd the flock from the book of Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God which He has purchased with His own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also, from among yourselves, men will rise up speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember, for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Again, let's pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we approach your throne of grace asking you to give us insight into your word. Open our minds and our hearts. Give us ears to hear and eyes to see. Lord, take your word and apply it to our individual lives as is appropriate. Convict of sin. Draw all men to you. And that, Lord, you may be glorified from this service today. I pray for those in this service today who are lost, who do not know you as their personal Savior. Lord, you know who they are. I pray that you'll draw them to you and they will have the courage to call upon you for salvation today. I pray for those who have fallen by the wayside. I pray for those, Lord, who have wandered. I pray that today will be a new beginning for them, that they would rededicate themselves to you. I pray that this service today, Lord, every decision that should be made in your sight will be made. And we give you all glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. As you know, we've been going through the book of Acts, kind of giving an overview of the book of Acts in the last several weeks. And at this point, Paul, the Apostle Paul, in his travels, has determined in his heart to go to Jerusalem. And he knows that going to Jerusalem is going to turn out bad. He knows that he's going to face some very serious persecution. As a matter of fact, in verse 22 of this same chapter, Paul said, "And see, I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things which will happen to me there, except the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me." So Paul's going to Jerusalem. He says, "Guys, I've got to go. I'm bound by the Spirit to go, but this is not going to turn out well for me as far as my physical life on this earth." And so with that in mind, Paul has this one last chance to minister to the church at Ephesus. And in this church at Ephesus, he calls all of the elders together, and he gives them a challenge. And the challenge is to shepherd the flock which God has given you oversight. Be a shepherd, okay? And that's the idea of the message today. To shepherd the flock. And what that looks like. And what that looks like is, first of all, to be on guard. In verse 28, Paul said, "Therefore, take heed." That phrase, "take heed," it means to guard, pay close attention to, watch over. And these spiritual leaders of the church at Ephesus were, first of all, challenged. "Look, guys, it's your responsibility to keep watch over the Lord's church." And if we applied it today, we could say that this would apply to pastors and teachers and deacons and all those in the church and leadership positions. However, I don't want it to stop there. Everyone present here today most likely is in a leadership position in some form. If you're a mom, if you're a dad, you're supposed to shepherd the flock which God has given you oversight. That's your children. That's your family. If you're, and it does apply in the church, if you're a Sunday school teacher, if you teach the tiny tots, shepherd the flock. If you teach the teens, shepherd the flock. If you teach adults, shepherd the flock. Keep watch, guard over that precious flock of God, because it is very, very precious. And how do you do that? What it looks like? Well, it starts, Paul said, "Take heed therefore to yourselves yourselves. You start by guarding yourselves. It starts with you. Do not allow yourself to be in a position where you would compromise the testimony that you have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Watch your testimony. Most people don't ever think about, you can lose in about 5 minutes what you build in 50 years. It takes one bad decision. One bad decision. But most people don't think it'll ever happen to them. Beloved, I want to tell you, it happens all the time to every person and type of individual. Okay? It happened to David, a man after God's own heart. He fell. It happened to Moses, a man who spoke to God as a man speaks to his friend. Moses fell, lost his temper one day. It happened to Peter, a man who walked, literally, physically, walked for 3 years with Jesus Christ himself, and he denied Christ. And if it happened to those guys, let me tell you, brethren, you and I are not an exception to the rule. We are a target and we are vulnerable to attack. It happens to pastors. It happens to youth pastors. It happens to college ministers. It happens to Sunday school teachers, music directors. It happens to moms, to dads, to grandparents. And grandparents, don't think you're too old. You can fall too. That's why Paul says, guard yourself. One bad decision can ruin your reputation that has taken you years to build. And if you lose your testimony, you're going to cause somebody else to fall. Well, now, Brother Doug, I shouldn't cause somebody else. You will. I guarantee you. You let this pastor lose his testimony. Make a bad decision, and please pray I never will, okay? But you watch what happens to the church. It'll be devastating. But it's not just pastors. All church staff, moms and dads. If you lose your testimony in front of your children, they'll be scarred for the rest of their lives. Watch yourself. Watch yourself. You are a target. Also, guard the flock. That's the church. Oh, let me tell you something. The church is such a target today. I mean, Satan, he has the church in his sights, and he would like nothing better than to destroy what God has put together. I'm reminded every week how tough it is out there for our members. It's tough. I see members, children who are under attack, high school children that are fighting battles with drugs and sexual immorality, and I think, oh Lord, please hedge about them. I see moms and dads whose marriages are threatened, and I pray, Lord, hedge about them, restore that marriage. I see people who are under attack by the liberals of our day. That if you actually stand and say, I believe that sin is sin. I believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. I believe there is one God. You're a target. And sometimes I want to say, folks, just we must wake up. We cannot afford to be lethargic in the world that we live in, because Satan desires to destroy you. He desires to destroy this church. He desires to make ruin the kingdom of God. What have we got to do, Brother Doug? We've got to take responsibility. We've got to accept responsibility for whom we are. Paul said, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. That word overseer is superintendent or guardian. God has given us an awesome responsibility, first of all, to take care of His church. Okay? And you have to understand how God feels about His church. He loved His church so much that He bought it with His own precious blood. He paid for it. Now the challenge is shepherd the flock, church leaders. Okay? Shepherd the flock, church leaders. Value this that belongs to God. You say, Brother Doug, how do we do that? Number one, you feed the sheep. Number one, you feed the sheep by ensuring that they get daily doses of nutrition. You remember Jesus asked Peter, he said, Peter, do you love me? Peter said, yes, I love you. Feed my sheep, Jesus said. Ask him and told him that three times. Why? Because sheep have to be fed. They need nutrition. How do you do that? Well, number one, church leaders inside this church better make sure that the Word of God is on the forefront of what we're doing. Education from the Bible. Vitally important. Do not settle for entertainment. Do not settle for a hi-ho good time. Ensure that whether we're talking Sunday school classes, youth classes, or from this pulpit, that the Word of God is faithfully proclaimed week in and week out. But not just church. Let's talk about our leadership at home. Okay? Listen, moms and dads, you have the responsibility to make sure that your children are spiritually fed. How do you do that? Get them in church. Bring them to church. Don't send them to church. Bring them to church. Because I promise you, in school, they're being challenged every day. And they're being guided toward the culture and the ways of the world. And let's face it, we're in trouble in our culture. There are no boundaries. There are no standards. And that's what your child is getting. Get them in church. Get them in the Word. You know, family devotions are still a good thing to do. Feed the sheep. Correct the sheep. Guide the sheep. Okay? 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, Paul told Timothy, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. Be willing to set a path and when need be, correct. Even in the church. I'm going to tell you, that's a hard one. You have no idea what it does to a pastor when he has to approach a church member who's gone by the wayside. There have been times I've literally been sick to my stomach because it hurts. It hurts. But that doesn't excuse me. I still have to approach people who are going down a wrong road and say, no, this is not the road that God would have you go down. Be willing to correct as you spiritually lead. You know, moms and dads, the same thing goes for you. Are you listening? Everybody listening, say amen. Amen. As a parent, you got to learn how to say no. You got to learn how to say, no, we don't do that. We don't believe in this, that in this house, and we will not have that here. That's your responsibility. That's what being a shepherd looks like. Because the reality is, whether we're talking about your children at home or we're talking about church members here, people go astray. They just wander off. Let me tell you, it is hard to say no to your children. I get that. It is hard to say no to church members. I get that. But we still have that responsibility to shepherd the flock. When I was in Israel back several years ago, it's a culture thing of how shepherds do in Israel. And they watch over their flock. And they said there's always this sheep in the flock that tends to wander off. And the shepherd will go get that sheep, and he'll put him down in the flock, and he'll turn around and he's wandered off again. And he'll go get that sheep, and he brings it back, and he sets him down, and he turns around, and he's wandered off again. And after so many times, they said what the shepherd would do is take that sheep and break his leg. You say, "Oh, Brother Doug, how inhumane." No, listen. They'd break that leg, and so the sheep couldn't walk, so he couldn't wander off. And what would happen is that in the coming weeks, the shepherd would take that sheep and carry him everywhere they went. He would take that sheep and literally wrap him around his neck and his shoulders. When they would travel, he would carry that sheep right here. He would carry that sheep right here. They would get up and move, and he'd always have that sheep. And the greatest thing happened. A spiritual closeness developed between that sheep and that shepherd. So that when that leg mended and the sheep put him down for the final, the final time he was good to go, that sheep would never leave that shepherd's side again. I mean, it was to the point where that sheep, he'd look down and the shepherd was always there, because he learned through the weeks how wonderful it was to have that beautiful relationship with the shepherd. I want to tell you something. Sometimes God does that to us. He has to break our legs. But I want to tell you something else. Sometimes the spiritual shepherds in this life have to do that. As a mom and a dad, you have to say no, and your child say, "Yeah, but everybody else in school is doing it, Dad." And you have to say, "I don't care if everybody else is doing it. I'm not going to." And then they'll go do it anyway. Break that leg. I'm going to pay for that one. I'm talking in a metaphor, okay? Don't break your kid's leg. Do not do that. What I'm saying is, don't be afraid to put some teeth in to your direction. Okay? Because ultimately what you're going to learn is your child will interpret that direction as love for them and caring for them. Okay? Same thing with church members. I don't know how many times I've been told, "Who's that pastor think he is? What I do is none of his business." Oh, yes, it is. I'm commissioned by God to watch over your soul. And I'll do it. And it hurts. And I'll put it off. And but I'll do it. I'll do it. We all have that responsibility. Be a shepherd. Be a shepherd. We go on. We've got to know attacks are coming. That's what Paul said. Attacks are coming there. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up speaking perverse things and draw away the disciples. I'm sorry, verse 29. Paul said, "For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come." I know this is what's going to happen. Paul's saying it's coming. See this picture of a flock that's out there defenseless. And these nasty, mean old wild wolves come in and they begin to kill the sheep. And at first they begin to kill the sheep and eat the sheep. But then they just enjoy the kill so much that they go through the herd and they kill them all. That's the picture that Paul is trying to paint here. If there's no one to stand and protect the sheep, they're helpless to protect themselves. Boy, when I consider Victory Baptist Church, we are so very blessed. And I do not say that. That's not a pride thing. That's not anything of my doing. That is of God. I appreciate and rejoice in the unity, the fellowship, the doctrinal purity. I appreciate the fact that people are growing. But let me tell you, we got to watch out. Because it may be 6 days and it may be 6 months, it may be 6 years. But I promise you, the wolves will come. The wolves will come. And we, as leaders, as church leaders, what we've got to be willing to do is put ourselves in between the wolves and the sheep. That to get to the sheep, you got to go through me mentality, you know? Listen, can you identify someone when they try to tear up the Lord's church? Can you identify that? Better. You've got to realize that this is good for the church and this is not good for the church. And that which is not good for the church, we need people who are willing to stand up and say, no, not here. Not here. See, that's what shepherding is. That's what shepherding is in your home. When your kid's hanging out with some folks that they shouldn't be hanging out with, you take your stand, mom and dad, say, no, you're my kid. And they'll tell you, it's my life. I'll do what I want to. And you tell them, I brought you into the world, I'll take you out. You're mine. What kids don't understand is parents are responsible for their kids until they're of age. Okay? Kids, you make a bad decision, your parents will pay for it. All right? Shepherd. Moms and dads, church leaders, teachers, put yourself between the wolves and the flock because attacks are coming. Attacks will come. Men will rise up speaking perverse things and draw away the disciples who speaks of false doctrine there. These are wolves in sheep's clothing. Jesus talked about them in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. He said, beware false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. Got everybody's attention. The great danger in today's culture are churches that believe and teach and stand for nothing. Church without boundaries. One of those, I'm going to call names. Joel Osteen was asked not too long ago why he did not speak of hell. And you know what he said? I'm going to read this because I want to quote him. I want to be accurate. He said, people already feel bad enough. They're not doing what they should. So I want them to come to Lakewood and be lifted up. I want them to say, I'm not perfect, but I'm moving forward. I'm doing better. And that motivates them to do better. I want to tell you something. You got to realize you're not doing good before you can do better. Before you can realize your need for heaven, you got to understand there is a hell. You've got to tell the whole truth. And people are flocking to that feel-good gospel that never addresses sin, that never addresses anything that will literally destroy the sheep. That's the movement of today. Less preaching, more music. Less declaring sin to be sin and more acceptance. Less teaching at all. Because after all, it doesn't matter what you believe. We're all trying to get to the same place. I want to tell you something. Everybody listen. A church without boundaries is not a church. It is a social club. I want to warn you. I'm not going to spend a lot of time here, but I want to warn you. There are people that you think are good. You may be a Joel Osteen fan. You better stay away from him. And I'm about to shock somebody here. You better watch Beth Moore. She's lost it. I've been... Max Lucado. And these are people I used to read and I think, boy, these are good, solid. They're getting into this culturally acceptance thing and women pastors and all. And for heaven's sakes, avoid Joyce Meyer at all cost. Okay? Churches have got to have boundaries. And these boundaries are not made up by pastors. They're out of the Word of God. And if you can take the word and say, okay, here's what we believe, so here's what we practice, and it offends somebody, well, you just got to get over it, because this is God speaking. This isn't a preacher speaking. Paul said, you got to remember. Remember the warning. Watch and remember. Verse 31. Watch and remember that for 3.5 years I did not cease to warn you, everyone, night and day with tears. Paul said, I warned you. Paul said, I repeated myself. Don't you love it when preachers repeat themselves? Paul said, this is all I preached to you for 3 years. Remember. Remember. So that when it happens, you'll say, ah, yeah, that's what Paul was talking about. I remember that. Yeah, that's exactly what Paul was talking about. I remember that. Beloved, Paul is putting us all on notice. Take note of what's happening around us. Empty, vain, man-pleasing religion that does not mean anything is everywhere you look. People who will not stand upon the Word of God, it's everywhere you look. The only sin being calling sin, sin, is everywhere you look. And it can happen here if the shepherds don't watch out. So what do you do when the wolves show up? Well, I'll tell you what you don't do. You don't panic. Okay? But see, when you panic, you do all the wrong stuff. You say the wrong things. You do the wrong things. When the wolves show up, you take a look at the wolves and you assess what the problem is. And then you take your stand. You get yourself between you and the flock and take your stand. You see, so many times, I say that because so many times something rears up and folks panic. They're surprised. Oh my goodness, what are we going to do? The church is going to fall apart. Church is not going to fall apart unless people fall apart. Okay? Never panic. Never shoot from the hip. See, this is God's church that He bought with His own blood. And so we need to treasure it as such. You know, it's one thing. If I tear something that's mine up, it's one thing. But I don't want to tear anybody else's stuff up. That's why I always say, you ever have people say, well, come borrow mine. I've got one of those. Don't buy one, borrow mine. And I, you know, you kind of hesitate because I don't want to tear their stuff up. Well, listen, this is God's church. I don't want to tear His church up. And I don't want to allow His church to be torn up. Okay? With that in mind, I have to take very seriously the threats to the Lord's church. I say, Brother Doug, is the church threatened? Let me tell you, the church is threatened every day. Some things you know about, some things you don't know about. But the basic challenge of this message is this. Be willing to stand. Be willing to be a shepherd, even when it's hard. You see, we're living in a society that I back up and I think, man, people can't even think logically anymore. When you can't figure out which bathroom you should go to, something's wrong. It's just dumb. But it's the culture in which we live. Shepherd the flock. Church leaders. Moms and dads, shepherd the flock. Grandparents, shepherd the flock. Take your stand. We need people who are willing to say, thus saith the Lord, this is what we believe and this is where we stand. I do like Paul's, in closing, the last thing he told them. He said in verse 32, he told them all this and told them how to be shepherds. And he said in verse 32, so now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I want to tell you something. It's not easy shepherding. It's tough. Sometimes you cry, and sometimes you're hurt on the inside and all that. But I want you to know this, okay? You're not alone. Okay? Paul said, I commend you to God. I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance. Able to build you up, grow you, strengthen you. Why is victory what victory is? We are a New Testament doctrinally sound church by the grace of God. Okay? Now, does that mean we have perfect people? No. Does that mean the pastor's perfect? No. Not even close. But I believe victory will take a stand when a stand is needed. And I want you to realize, as you take your stands, whether it be a stand at church, whether it be a stand at home, whether it be a stand in the place that you work, you're not standing alone. Never will you stand alone. I love the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Don't you? I mean, these guys bow down to the king, bow down and worship my image. Not us. King says, do it or I'm going to throw you in the fire. They said, you do what you want to. King said, I'm going to throw you in the fire, and who's going to save you from my hand? And they were like, King, do what you want to do. God can save us. He cannot save us. But whatever He does, we're not going to bow down to your image. So He threw him in there. One of the most beautiful pictures of the Bible. Those guys are in the fire, and the king looks in there and says, huh? Didn't we throw three guys in that fire? Yep. I understand this is Doug Hamburg translation, right? Yep, we threw three guys in that fire. King says, I see four walking around. They said, yep, there's definitely four in there. You know who the fourth man was, right? It's Jesus. You will never stand for God and stand alone. God may not remove the storm, but I promise you, He'll stand with you and go through the storm. Okay? Maybe you're here today, and this message, you're going through a storm. And you're having to stand and make decisions you don't want to make, and it's just breaking your heart. Listen, I remind you, you're not alone. But if you need to, you come to this altar, okay? Pour out your heart to God and lay it at the feet of Jesus. You may be here today, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. I want to share with you, you're going alone. Don't do that. Jesus Christ gave His life upon the cross of Calvary so that you could have eternal life. He died. He suffered so that your sin debt could be paid. And now He says, come unto Me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Will you come today? Maybe you're here today. The Lord's leading you to become a member of this church. All I ask you is that we do, and as we go into this invitation, is listen to the Holy Spirit of God and do what the Spirit of God tells you you need to do. Don't walk out of here the way you came in when you know there's a decision that needs to be made. Take your stand for Jesus today. Heavenly Father, we praise You. We thank You, Lord, for Your Word. And we thank You, Lord, for the reminder today. It's our job as Christians to stand up, to shepherd the flock in which You have made us overseers. It's our job as Your children, Lord, to stand between the wolves and the flock. Help us by giving us strength to stand. Help us to be a David when the Goliath approaches. Help us to be a Daniel when we're thrown to the lions. Help us to be men and women of great faith who are faithful to You. These things we ask in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord.